I wanted to say something about next week. Pat Zhao has a marvelous little book that you Asian ladies might like to get a hold of. It's called The Discovery of Genesis, and it goes way back, way, way back, and it shows how the characters came about. And as far as we know, it's right on. So you might want to put that in the back of your mind of picking up something like that. Today's thing on race comes out of Ken Ham's book, The New Answer Book, Genesis. This is where I got the stuff on dinosaurs. And we need to look at this whole subject of race because it really ties in with today's lesson. Next week, I'm kind of planned an hour and a half. There'll be no music. There'll be no snacks. There'll be...
no snacks.
That's it. I'll be here by myself. Starts at 10. It'll go over that little test that I gave you. Plus, I think I might add on how to change your husband. So. Short of killing them. Yeah. You already know how. That's not fair. We might go over a little bit today. I don't want to, but I think this is such an important lesson. We simply don't understand where we're at. I think we have another Tower of Babel, and we're bowing down to the internet and a lot of other stuff. So it's a little upsetting. Anyway, so that's all we're going to do. We're just going to be looking at those, what's involved in the Ten Commandments, what's the one commandment we don't follow anymore, how did Jesus sum them up. I don't know, I was thinking getting into the walk in Ephesians, and then how to change your husband. Anyway, Father God, we thank you and praise you for the fact that we have the Word of God in our hands. What a treasure it is. And Lord, we've taken it lightly. We toss it around. We don't know what's in it. And yet we are called by your name. So Lord, we have much to do in our lives. We need a work of God in each of our lives. Lord, we need to change. And Lord, I ask that you begin with me. So Father, be our teacher this at this time and open up our eyes. Lord, this is such a freeing lesson when we understand just where we're at. So help us, Lord, and we depend on your Spirit. Be our teacher and guide, and we love you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Noah had a son named Ham. We had looked at him last week. And Ham had a son named Cush. And Cush had a son named Rebel. Now, who in here, when their right mind would ever call their offspring or their son Rebel? But that's what Nimrod means. He became a mighty tyrant in the land, and he rebelled against God. What made Nimrod so popular? Well, we forget that when Noah let the animals off the ark, they were now wild, most of them, and they were now flesh eaters, and they were afraid of man, and so it was a sitting, they were sitting targets for Nimrod, who would kill these wild beasts. I think it's interesting that the people were afraid of the beasts, but they weren't afraid of God. You would think after so soon a flood of judgment that they would have been afraid. Nimrod was a great hunter, a great ruler, a great builder. He was exceedingly ambitious. He made himself king. He ruled two kingdoms. He built eight cities. And he pushed his own plan in defiance of God. He established the city of Babylon. And that is so insignificant. I have a Sunday school teacher that loaned me this book. It was written in 1870, I think. And it's about the two Babylons. It has a tremendous amount in it about Nimrod. I am so surprised there's so much information on this man when he lived so long ago. But Babylon is significant because we pick it up in the book of Revelation, which you had a question in your lesson about it. So where is it? It's between the two rivers of the Tigris and the Euphrates. And it's just a bit northwest of Iraq. Well, up to now, there is one common language among all the descendants of Noah. And I thought, wouldn't that be neat? Everybody speaks the same language. It would make it so much easier for missionaries today, but not so. And I felt a little sympathy for these people because I think if I were a part of this group, I would want to stick together too. You know, isn't there safety in numbers? But, I would have been reluctant to disperse. So Nimrod had little trouble keeping the people under his rule. The people wanted to make a name for themselves. Why did they want to make a name for themselves? It was because they wanted to be remembered forever. Sound familiar? I think every rock star wants to do the same. But they refused to acknowledge God's power in the world. They thought they were wiser than God. Wow. That's such pride. They wanted the security and power of being together, so they organized. But unity doesn't come through visible organization. Unity is internal. And the Lord gives us that in Ephesians 4:4. There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, I was going to say, and you all. No, that wasn't there. But it's an old story. Man's disobedience brings judgment upon himself. I know, didn't we get that with Adam and Eve? As you look around at people in our world today, what evidence of defiance towards God do you see? It's almost hard to find anything that isn't defying God. But you know what? It's also in our homes, isn't it? And yet it's God's will that all should come to repentance. So I have to ask the question, how are we doing? And if we look into our own families, the majority don't know God's will, even though it's written down in black and white. We have no understanding, and I think it's come as a result of tossing out the first 11 chapters of Genesis. I think evolution came in, and those 11 chapters were pushed out as myth and fable. And but it's kind of convenient, too, because then we don't have to believe in God. But then there's no foundation. I think that's been a real eye-opener to me, how important those first 11 chapters have been. I've taught so many other things of Scripture, and I've just kind of avoided those first 11. But I realize now I've done a disservice to all of us that we needed to start there. Well, a few Sundays ago, I turned on the History Channel. I'm always getting something interesting. This enthusiastic gentleman was saying that all the ancient wonders of the world were all made by space aliens. Oh no, he's dead serious. And you know, I figured out how he got there is because early man was caveman-like, and he evolved. So obviously the pyramids couldn't have been made by the Egyptians because they wouldn't have the technology. So space aliens came with lasers and cut out the stones, etc., etc. But you know, it is mind-boggling. I also have, I gotta watch the History Channel more often. They got some wild things on it. So, but man hasn't evolved. If anything, man's going downhill. Probably the smartest man that ever walked the earth, not wise, but smart, would have been Adam. And I think it's gone downhill since then. Well, today's lesson, they made their own bricks. They made their own bricks out of stuff that would last as symbols of their defiance towards God. Well, what happens with evolution? We need to look at a few more items in regards to this. Evolution, people who believe in evolution spend a lot of time and energy and effort into believing in themselves, their science, their technology, their philosophy, their psychology. And all that is really humanism, and that's what we've been stuck with in our society for a long time. And what is humanism but being self-centered, self-promoting, self-gratifying, self-righteous, self-indulgent, self-made? We even have a magazine today called Self. We're so caught up with everything that man can do, and I think, my goodness, we're right back to the tower. Well, Nimrod's plans were not haphazard. They were carefully thought and planned out. It was to elevate man's accomplishments above everything else. They built a city, then a temple, and then a tower. And then looking into other towers that were built at this time and later, they found that there were 7 stages, and they had them in different colors. Each stage of the 7 was a shrine to one of the planets. The top was a sanctuary, and the signs of the zodiac were in the top. So they weren't going up the tower to stargaze. They were going up there to chart the heavens and get their direction from the stars. We still do it today. You pick up the newspaper, they've got the zodiac right there. I'm sure there's not a person in this room doesn't know what their sign is, because that's part of our culture. We just pick it up. But don't let it influence you. Oh, I got 3 stars this morning. Well, it's going to be an average day. Oh, I got 5 stars today. It's going to be a super day. You know, that's the power of suggestion. And it's of the enemy, and you don't go there. I couldn't help but think that Romans 1:25 went through my mind, where they were worshiping the creation rather than the creator. It's so easy to slip into that kind of stuff. The word Babel can be translated Babylon, and it simply means confusion. But they didn't look at it as confusion. They looked at it as the gate of God. What a difference. But I think every time we take God out of something, what do we have left? Confusion. We've taken him out of our schools. We've taken him out of our courts. We've taken him out of practically everything. And what do we have is confusion. Well, there were 3 things that happened when the Trinity came down. This was pretty serious stuff. I figured the Trinity's involved. But let's see if we can pick those up. Okay. The Lord says, come, let us go down and confuse the language. First thing, the language. So they won't understand one another's speech. And then the Lord scattered them, the second thing, over the face of the earth, and they ceased building. So they were not building their tower anymore. And the name is called Babel, because the Lord confused the languages of all the earth. And there the Lord scattered them abroad from the face of all the earth. What a sad testimony. Well, this tower would have symbolized a world religion that would serve as an opiate to the people, giving them satisfaction of the craving they had for spiritual dimension. I think that question in your lesson is so important. Of all the religions that, and I thought of a few more since I had to look up the spelling on all those lessons, on all those religions, but man is very religious, very religious. And it doesn't lead anywhere because you need a relationship, not a religion. Christianity is a relationship that you must develop, you must work on through knowing the Word of God. Anyway, it gave them a false sense of satisfaction because they were very occupied with this building, and it distracted them from the truth. I think, how many things are in our life now that distract us from the truth? You know, the hours that are spent on the internet. Oh, I don't have time to do my lesson. Oh, I don't have time to do that. And I don't know about you, but I got a lot of grandchildren, and they're all walking around texting or got pods in their ears, and, you know, who's listening to anything? And I was just so convicted when I read that in Anne Graham Lotz's book where South Korea gets up at 4:30 and meets on the hillsides to pray over their country.
It gets cold, yeah.
I wonder what would happen to our country if we began meeting for prayer at 4:30 in the morning. Don't throw rocks at me. I mean, it's really serious. We are in trouble as a nation. Deep trouble. I don't know if we're going to lose it all before we realize, oh, we should have been praying about that. But they convict me. Well, I wonder if these Babylonians thought they were safe because God had told Noah that he'd never flood the world again. So maybe they figured they were pretty safe. But anyway, they were up there charting the skies and looking at the stars. And it's so interesting that most of the world's religions all are working towards reaching God, and only our Judeo-Christianity is where God is reaching down to man. What a wonder that is. It is so beautiful. It's the only one that deals with sin also. So, well, they were sincere and they were full of pride, but God said, all our righteous acts are like filthy rags, like menstrual cloths, and there's none righteous, no, not one. And yet without holiness, no one will see the Lord. That's why your relationship with God is so important. Don't count on weights and balances. Some people say, well, I trust that my good works will be here and my bad ones will be here and my good ones will outweigh the bad ones. You're in very dangerous territory because it doesn't take much to keep you out of heaven. Jesus said, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of the Father, Matthew 7:21. Babel and everything since is man's defiance against God's word. Yeah, the internet brings us together, doesn't it? But the world is uniting. Can't get over it. My grandsons play these war games of some sort with people around the world. I think it's amazing. But it's not true unity, because there's no unity outside of Jesus Christ. So it's all other unity is really against God, whether we know it or not. And I think most of us aren't even aware of it. I was thinking how judgment is coming. It really is coming. And who will know about it if we've got these buds in our ears listening to something or we're texting? It scares me to death to think these teenagers are driving and texting at the same time. But if God was to warn us of a catastrophe coming, who would be tuned in? I was even looking around in church on Sunday because we have so much, we have a huge youth department here. And I thought, I'm going to check them out, see if they're texting in church. No, they weren't. They were very, very much in tune with the message, so I was really happy to see that. But there is, judgment is coming. It would take three EMPs, electromagnetic pulsators, to take out every chip in the United States. And then you don't drive your car, you don't get gas, you don't get no groceries, you don't have any plumbing, you don't have anything. That would take us back to the 700s. You know, is anybody ready for that? Is God going to have to do that in order for us to wake up? I don't know. Kind of frightening, isn't it? Because our government has done nothing to protect us from that. The tragedy of God's judgment here at the tower is they were dispersed without God. Did you see any repentance? Did you see any humbling? No, they were terrified. And forced obedience is always lost. There isn't a person here, including myself especially, that if you've disobeyed the Lord and you know you've disobeyed Him, how it's loss in your life. It always produces loss. Well, one thing we need to really look at is, where does race come from? Race is such an ugly word, and we need to get rid of it once and for all. It comes from evolution. There's no such thing as race. You and I are all from Adam. Duh. Or don't we believe in Genesis? You know, we all bleed the same blood. Some are better than mine, some aren't as good as mine, so we're all of Adam. So what we're dealing with are cultural differences. So I gave you this thing from Ken Ham's book because I thought it was interesting. It says we need to get rid of the evolutionary term of race. There's no big difference between us. Now, when I was at Simpson, I thought that our color and so on came about here at the tower. Now, I can't prove that. It's possible it came as time went along. But it's a genetic thing, and God had it in there. And I thought it's a test. God gave us a test by making us different colors to see how well we do. We haven't done well at all. It's obnoxious how badly we've done. But so I can't be dogmatic about it, but my guess is that it was in the genetic thing, and then it pool, and then it spread out. The question came in: did the three sons of Noah, did they spread out? Undoubtedly, how this came about is that people saw a good thing, they thought it was a good thing, and went for it in direct disobedience to God. But what you and I have to grasp hold of is we are all made in the image of God. That's the issue. Satan wants us to believe in evolution because then there's no image. We've done ourselves a real disservice. Evolution should never have been taught in the schools. And I've just connected the dots myself on this. Let me back up a sec. The only thing here that's a little hard to understand is the AA, BB, and the little A's and so on. If you have an AB father and an AB mother, you're going to be very dark. If you had a little A and a little B, you're going to be very white. And you and I had nothing to say about it. At least I don't think so. I didn't put in to be such and such a person. And you get all of your structure from your mom and dad. It's done, you know. So it'll be interesting to see how beautiful heaven will be, all full of all kinds of people. But we've bought this lie. We've done just like what Nimrod did on the people. We've believed a lie. And it disturbs me a great deal. We've chosen to believe man's theory, a lie, rather than the Word of God. That's the bottom line. Okay, I have to tell you, I watched the History Channel again on Sunday. Well, it's not funny. It's really tragic. Well, it was the space aliens are back. The space aliens came to Earth and they altered Neanderthal man and made Homo sapiens. That's what you and I are. I sat there and said, boy, you believe in anything but God. They are so desperate. But to say that space aliens made us is blasphemous. We are made in the image of God. I got this out of Ken Ham's book, As Darwinian Evolution is Inherently a Racist Philosophy. And this will make you sick. The Australian Aborigines, for instance, were considered the missing links between ape-like ancestors and the rest of mankind. And terrible prejudice were developed towards them and terrible injustices. Racist attitudes fueled by evolutionary thinking were largely responsible for African pygmy, and they took one of these African pygmies and displayed it along with an orangutan in a cage in the Bronx Zoo. Shame on us. How terrible. But you see, your thinking is evolutionary and racist. Congo pygmies were once thought to be small, ape-like, elfish creatures that exhibit many ape-like features in their bodies. As a result of Darwinian evolution, people started thinking about different people groups as races. Not so. Different cultures, but not race. All human beings in the world today are classified as Homo sapiens. We are all of Adam. We are made in the image of God. So much injustice and hurt and a refusal, and it's all based on a refusal to believe God's word. What happened at the tower? It was a refusal to believe God, and they followed man. So anyway, I gave you that little handout. Those are a compilation of pictures out of Ken Ham's book, and I think it's eye-opening, and I hope it's freeing for you. The variations are very small. And it's all in the genes. We have different people groups, but not races. What has the evolution really led us to? It's led us to some terrible, terrible situations. And Adolf Eichmann and Adolf Hitler had to come up with a final solution. I bought this little book, How Do You Kill 11 Million People? And this fellow, and I myself too, wondered how they could take so many people during World War II and just kill them all off. You know, didn't anybody fight back? So we'll look at that in a minute. But you have to remember that Hitler was a dropout of seminary, and something wasn't quite right there. And his grandmother, I believe, was half Jew. And so he had just such a hatred towards Jews. And he believed in Nietzsche, and he believed in evolution. And if you believe in evolution, that makes an awful lot of things right. Or at least they think so in their own thinking. So what I wanted to give you here was, if I can find it, the different colors that Hitler came up with. I'm missing all my numbers. They had different colors for people. They had triangles were yellow. Those were the Jews. They had pink for homosexuals and pedophiles. They had purple for Catholic priests and Jehovah's Witnesses and Christian leaders. They had red for people that rebel against the government. That would have been me. Well, not anarchists. They were just nonconformists. Like they're saying today that if you believe in creation, then you're a troublemaker. And So our faith is going to be put on the line here. So he would round them all up, and why would they ever submit to this? There were 1,100 death camps across Europe. I have to tell you, we're headed right for that with this health care, because only certain age people are going to be getting health care. And the our government has just said this last week, the National Health Care, the fellow that runs it, said that to kill is permissible, that we are not made in the image of, there's no sacred image, we've gotten beyond that. So it will justify taking body parts. So where are we? We are right back to the 30s. How did this all happen? Well, here's a little blurb. Neither do we need to consider the mindset of those deranged enough to conceive and carry out a slaughter of innocents. History has provided ample documentation of the damage done to societies by megalomaniacal psychopaths or sociopaths. What we need to understand is how 11 million people allowed themselves to be killed. Obviously, that is an oversimplification, but think with me here. If a single terrorist began shooting automatic weapons in a movie theater containing 300 people, the lone gunman couldn't possibly kill all 300. Why? Because when the shooting started, most of the crowd would run or hide or fight. So why, for month after month and year after year, did millions of intelligent human beings guarded by a relatively few Nazi soldiers willingly load their families into tens of thousands of cattle cars to be transported by rail to one of the many death camps scattered across Europe? How can a condemned group of people headed for a gas chamber be compelled to act in a docile manner? The answer is breathtakingly simple, and it is a method still being used by some elected leaders to achieve various goals today. How do you kill 11 million people? You lie to them. So it's very, very simple. So why does the truth matter? It matters so much. What was wrong with the tower? The people were refusing to believe the truth. They were absolutely set on following a lie. What's wrong with us today? We're doing the very same thing. And it's so infiltrated us. It's hard to even think, take the word race out of your vocabulary. It's hard to even get there. But then you realize how ingrained it is, how it's been taught you and pushed in you. We're all of one race. We are all from God. We are all created in His image. And we are all from Adam. It's got to stop. So how do we sum it all up? Well, you sum it all up with Jeremiah 17. I think we're in trouble. That's the bottom line. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. And I say, we're not coming up too good. So let's ask the Lord to help us. Father God, it behooves us to look at these numbers and to think that in Russia they killed 51 million people, and so many of them weren't even Russian. And some of the ethnic cleansing that's gone on among tribes, Lord God, and the Cambodian killing fields and the horror of World War II. Oh God, we are a wicked race, Lord. How you've put up with this, I don't know. But Lord, help us as your children, as made in your image, to demonstrate that to a world, Lord. May we be demonstrating your love that you've given us out there out to those that are so needy around us, Lord. Help us not to fall into the category of believing a lie. Oh God, we have much to do business with you. So, Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today that needs to get alone with you and needs to get down on their knees and seek your forgiveness and cleansing, I pray that the day won't go by until they do, and that they will find that you are right there, so willing to forgive, so willing to lift up and fill and touch and restore. Oh, God, you want us to be your lights in the world, and we're pretty dull right now, Lord. So turn us on and use us as you see fit. And we'll simply give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.